6-year-old Andre grew up in a home where his parents had a tradition that every year they would set up the nativity. Like most typical nativities, it looked just like this one over here. It had all the different people and all the different little figurines, and except for there were three things that were missing in Andre's nativity. It was missing a Mary, a Joseph, and baby Jesus. You see, what they would do is they would set up nativity on the mantle of the fireplace, and they would start Mary and Joseph at the one end of the mantle. And so the nativity was at the other end, and all of a sudden, each day, Mary and Joseph would start to get closer and closer to the nativity. And baby Jesus wasn't even in the picture. Because the reality is, if we think back to the story of Christmas Eve, even before Christmas Eve, Jesus wasn't in the picture. So they have Mary and Joseph making this journey across the mantle. And little Andre would just watch every day. And there were some days when his parents would come down and Mary and Joseph were a little bit closer that day. And they had to back them up. Because it symbolized the journey that Mary and Joseph went on, that 75-mile hike from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And so all of a sudden, they started to get closer and closer, and then the anticipation started to build. Andre would come down, and he would look at the nativity, and he would say, "Mom, Dad, look, they're so close. They're so close." And he knew that that meant that on Christmas Eve, Mary and Joseph would enter into the nativity. How cool would that be to realize that on Christmas Eve, what we celebrate was the night that Mary and Joseph made their way into the nativity. And then all of a sudden, baby Jesus was not, again, a part of the picture, wasn't even seen, found, nothing. That night as Andre would go to sleep, he would wake up in the morning. And much to the surprise of his parents, he came running down the steps. And he ran past all the presents. He ran past the tree. He ran past all of these things, and he ran right up to the manger. And he turned to his parents, who had put baby Jesus right there in the middle of the manger, and he started to scream, "He's here! He's here! He's here!" I mean, they were shocked. They were shocked. Because for him, the anticipation of that morning was seeing Jesus in the manger, in the nativity. See, my hope for today is that we too pass by the tree, we pass by the presence, that we head right up to the manger. Because the reality for us this morning, church, is he's here, he's here, he's here. That's the good news. Now listen, your kids are not less spiritual if they don't run up to the manger. You aren't less spiritual if you like a nicely decorated tree, because if you know me, I like a nicely decorated tree. I like things being right, put in place, and I love that Christmas charm. So you're not less spiritual for those things, but I also want us to remind ourselves that he's here. He's here. He's here. So this past week, my parents are here. They're visiting. This is the second time in 14 years that we haven't traveled on Christmas because my family lives out on the East Coast and Kaylee's family lives out in Oklahoma area, in Oklahoma City. And so we typically travel. That's really one of the only times that we get to see our family during the holiday seasons. And so we're here this year, and we're excited to be here this year. Of course, yes, we miss being with our family, but my parents flew out to be with us for Christmas, and we were having a conversation, and I was in the kitchen, and Kaylee kind of yelled out. She's like, "Hey, why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th? I said, "That's a really good question. And I said, I at one point, I really think I knew the answer. I think I made something up at the time. I'm just kidding. I didn't make anything up. I said, "You know, at one point, I really believe like I knew that answer, but I couldn't remember that." And so I thought, well, you know what? For this morning, maybe you have the same question. Why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. So we know that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th, and seriously, we know that Jesus was obviously born, and we also know that the word Christmas has a different meaning than what we think it does. It's actually Christmas. So this is actually the wording of Christmas back in the ancient times, it would have been Christ Mass. And when we break that down, it actually means Christ's Mass, which means a service of worship to the king. A service of worship, not just to a king, but the newborn king. So it's a Christ's service of worship. When you say Merry Christmas, you're saying Merry, Merry, being glad of the worship to our newborn king. That's what it means. But why December 25th? Where did that all come from? Well, we know that Jesus was born in 4 BC, which is kind of comical considering that BC stands for before Christ. So he was born 4 years before his time. They always said he was before his time, but that's a different story. So now you just have to know that the calendar was already all messed up because humans got a hold of it, right? And as soon as the humans got a hold of it, it got all jacked up. And so the calendar actually has been off. So 4 BC is when we know that Jesus was born. Now, was Jesus born in the midwinter? Maybe. So there's a couple of theories of when Jesus was born. And we look in the scripture, we know that Luke even tells us that shepherds, who we talked about last night, were watching their flocks by night. Now, this would indicate or suggest a springtime date. So if the shepherds were outside and they were watching their flocks at night, this would indicate that it potentially is a springtime date that Luke is referring to. And the other part, though, that we have to consider is if they were temple sheep. You see, if they were temple sheep, then they would have been used for sacrifices, which would have been done all year round, which means that the shepherds would have been actually out in the middle of winter as well. So that doesn't necessarily get us any closer to a December 25th date. But the early Christian leaders chose the date of March 25th. That was, for the early Christian leaders, the date of celebration was March 25th, right? And they associated this celebration with the vernal equinox. Now, one of the things that you're going to have to know is during the ancient culture, during this time when they're choosing these dates, a lot of it centered around harvest. It's centered around, this is a farming culture, folks. So to them, planting, sowing, reaping, all of these things were really, really important. So the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that was taken into consideration. So March 25th was an important date on their calendar because this, again, is an ancient farming community. So now here's the funny part. Ask yourself this question. If Luke was getting his sources from Mary about when Jesus was born and how Jesus was born, if they knew that they took this journey, if they knew that there was no room in the inn, if they knew that they were outside in a barn, if they knew they put Jesus in a feed trough, if they know all of that information, why didn't Mary tell Luke the exact day that Jesus was born? Wouldn't that have just solved a lot of the issue? Wouldn't that, I mean, hello? Mary would have been the source. So why didn't she tell him? The reality is, she probably did. She probably did tell him when he was born. But the ancient church leaders, here's the funny part. They didn't want to know the specific date. Do you know why? Because they didn't want it to become a spectacle. Oops. They didn't want it to become a spectacle. See, because even the ancient church leaders, they wanted everybody to pass the presents. They wanted everybody to pass the tree. They wanted everybody to run right up to the manger and to proclaim to the world, he's here, he's here, he's here. They didn't want it to be a distraction, having one date, one particular place, one, all of these things that all of a sudden we start to worship that instead of the fact that Jesus is here. So even the early church fathers, they wanted that for us. And as the years passed, March 25th started to grow more and more in popularity. Remember, they chose the date of March 25th to have a celebration. So that date became very important. In fact, it became the date when they would celebrate the Feast of Annunciation. So the Feast of Annunciation was huge during this time on March 25th. It's when a group of people would get together and they would speak very slowly and they would enunciate all of their words and everybody knew what they were saying. No, that's not true at all. It wasn't about annunciation. It was about the annunciation of Gabriel to Mary. It was Gabriel's news. It was Gabriel's showing up to Mary and telling her that she would be the mother of the Christ child. So they celebrated this incredible event on March 25th. And during the medieval period, people weren't satisfied with just celebrating the announcement of Jesus' birth to Mary. That wasn't enough for them. Think about this. We're in the medieval period. They're celebrating the annunciation of Gabriel coming to Mary. And all of a sudden, people started to get this twinge. They were like, wow, this is really cool. I really like celebrating that Gabriel came to Mary and what he said to her. But why don't we celebrate the nativity? Why don't we celebrate Christ's birth? Why are we not getting as equally excited to know that he's here? He's here. He's here. So you know what they did? You see it coming. You're already ahead of me. March 25th is the day they celebrated Gabriel's announcement. So if you add 9 months, what do you get? December 25th. That's how we celebrate and why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Because it's 9 months after the period of the ancient church leaders celebrating the announcement of Gabriel to Mary. So we get to this place now. Can you imagine March 25th being the date that we celebrate Christmas? It'd be like right in the middle of spring break, right? We'd be celebrating Christmas. So they backed it out and they said, no, December 25th. Now, do you remember, could you imagine that first official church gathering when they gathered together and they proclaimed? They were like, remember what we celebrated on March 25th? Look at the results. Jesus, the nativity. We're going to celebrate this. Now, December 25th wasn't just important to them. It was a huge day in Rome. Rome celebrated, they loved their feasts. Rome really loved their feasts. They went all out. And when there was a reason to celebrate, they would find it. And so December 25th, even before it was a Christian holiday, it was a day of celebration where they would celebrate multiple gods. You ever hear people say, well, December 25th is a pagan date? Well, they're actually kind of right. It's kind of true. Because in Rome, they celebrated multiple gods on December 25th. And it was really kind of interesting because it was important for two reasons. One, it was the winter solstice. And two, again, the Roman feasting and worship of gods, not just the one deity of God. But Constantine was the ruler in Rome, and he officially established that Christianity was the religion of Rome. And so then when Constantine established that Christianity was the official religion of Rome, in AD 336, this is really cool. Think about this. In AD 336, Christmas was the national holy day of the pagan city of Rome. Now, where we get the word holidays, it comes from holy days. So in Rome, on December 25th, in AD 336, the script was flipped, completely flipped. All of a sudden, this pagan city that was known for all of its worship of all of these crazy gods, of Zeus and all the pagan gods of Hermes and Zeus and all these different things, now all of a sudden, they became centered on Jesus Christ. Now wrap your mind around this. In just 3 centuries, a child born quietly in a small Middle Eastern village became the focus of worship on December 25th in the most powerful empire in the known world. In just 300 years, Jesus had conquered Rome. In just 300 years, what they celebrate on December 25th completely flipped their script and they started celebrating the one true holy God and King, Jesus. They started to celebrate what God had done in the sending of his son. Rome, even Rome, the pagan Rome, passed the tree. They passed all the presents. Even Rome ran right up to the manger and they proclaimed to the world around them, he's here, he's here, he's here. So what does this mean for us today? Today, you can hear carols like the couple that we sang this morning being sung on every populated continent in the world. You can hear songs in every tribe, in every nation, and in every tongue proclaiming that Emmanuel, God, is with us. It was Christians who colonized the world. It was the followers of Christ who brought with them the tradition of December 25th with them. And of course we would want to know exactly when Jesus was born. Of course we would want to know that. When exactly? I want to know the day. And of course we would want to know the exact location in Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Wouldn't that be cool? There's a lot of places, if you go there today, there's a lot of places, the Church of the Nativity, which claims that underneath in the Church of the Nativity is the actual location of the Nativity where Jesus was born. And it looks really cool. And it's a place that's set aside for the worship of Christ being born. But the reality is, if anybody says this is the exact location, it's malarkey. Because we just don't know. But of course we would want to know where. And of course we would want to know when. But the truth of the story this morning, and the reality for us this morning, is not where and it's not when. The truth this morning is that it was. Amen. That it was. That's the most powerful point of the story. Not where, not when, but that it was. Because church, he's here. He's here. He's here. That's the truth. That's the reality for us. So after all, as Pastor David Jeremiah has said, the time of Christ's birth is now. This very second, within each of us, he continues to smile upon us from the crude mangers of our souls every moment that we feel his love, and particularly when we give that love away. It's okay to love beautiful trees. It's okay to get excited about unwrapping presents. It's okay to spend time with family. But it's also okay to run by all that in our hearts and to be able to proclaim not only to our family, our friends, but also to the world around us, he's here, he's here, he's here. Let's not lose sight today of that truth. Would you stand with me as we close? Gracious Lord, thank you again for your presence with us. Thank you for the reminder that the how did we get here and that even the how we got here is all centered around you. Thank you, Lord, that we've come to this place this morning to set aside just a brief amount of time to be able to take what we've heard and now proclaim it to the world that you're here, Lord, you're here, you're here. Now for us, that Lord Jesus, that means so much more than just a particular date or a particular time or even a particular place. Because just as we read in John this morning, Lord, you were here before time began. You were here before the creation of the world. You have always been here, Lord, and we're so thankful for that. And I pray that we don't lose sight that you're here, you're here, you're here. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.